Thank you so much for listening to this latest episode of A-Sides. This marks 150 episodes of A-Sides. Even my buddy Jim Glass was like, who are you going to have for episode 150? Well, it just so turned out that it happened to be a local musician from Central Illinois who I've spoke to a few different times on my own and with Brent. It's John Massaglia of the Truth Council. So this is his fourth appearance here on A-Sides. We talk about the band's new single, Falling from Jupiter. We also talk about his plans for 2024, and I avoid getting sued by Don Henley. So all in all, it was a great episode. Thank you so much to John Massaglia for coming back onto A-Sides. Also, thank you for listening to 150 episodes of A-Sides. It's awesome to get this far. Thank you.
Look, it's rock and roll!
And cue music.
Thanks for doing this.
Hey, no problem.
I was actually looking back. I know this is like your fourth time
on A-Sides.
Yeah, wow. Chatting with you. And it almost seems to be like an annual thing. And you were on episode 16 in Brent's basement as like a Truth Council thing when it was the three of you guys. And then it was just me and you. It was episode 84. And then it was back to me, you and Brent last year, 116. And I think this one's going to be 150.
Wow.
Well, yeah, man. Thanks for chatting with me again. It's always cool to chat with you, especially now face-to-face, too. You guys dropped that new single, Falling from Jupiter, and you had posted it was based off of a book from Benjamin Yeater. I just looked up, and that guy's from Morton, Illinois.
Yeah, yeah. We actually worked for like 10 years or 15 years together until about a year ago. He got a different job in his... He's down in AB building in Peoria, and I'm still in Morton. So I don't see him much anymore. But right before, he has a bunch of books on Amazon. And when he would get them, you know, with Amazon, you self-publish. It's kind of like what we do, really.
Oh, okay.
And you can write a book, and then they'll proof it, and they do a copyright kind of thingy to make sure you're not rewriting War and Peace or anything. And so he'll make some copies and hand them out to friends. So I've got about four or five of his books, and I read that one. That was that's a 700 page book.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's like his longest. I thought some of the characters and storylines were kind of cool. So I kind of took some of them and kind of wove them into a song.
Well, that's awesome. And then it's cool that he's local too, because I had no idea.
Right.
Yeah. I was just trying to find out information about that. Yeah. And all I came up with was a Google search, and it said it was like that book is from 2016.
Yeah. He, like I said, he's got four or five, maybe more than that.
Oh, wow.
I've got like four or five downstairs. So he goes through spurts. He'll have a few years where he's super prolific and will put out three or four books, and then he'll go like 5 years with nothing. He said he's getting ready to start writing again. So I would expect something out from him maybe this year or next year.
Before I knew you kind of took inspiration from that book, I was kind of thinking about, like, I was trying to see what maybe you meant in the lyrics and the characters and everything. And it sounded like I took it as a statement on, like, AI, like artificial intelligence.
Right.
'Cause
it's
kind of scary, too, how there's a lot of, like, they're using that tool for music and art.
I know. It's insane.
Yeah.
The thought of AI taking over has got to be, and it's 40 years ago, you know, Terminator came out.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what that is. So it's really not anything new. But yeah, this song takes a dark turn. It's kind of similar to that movie, Her. Did you ever see that?
No, but I forgot about that. Was that Joaquin Phoenix?
Right. And Scarlett Johansson's the computer voice. Yeah. I didn't think of that initially, but after the song was done, I'm like, oh, that's kind of like that. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. Like, maybe I'll have to check out that movie finally.
Oh, you've never seen it?
Oh, no, it's going back a few years, I think.
It is, but it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
I was even kind of thinking about the recent Blade Runner movie with Ryan Gosling. He's got some kind of like computer girlfriend too. Yeah.
She's just like a hologram, but then
yeah.
He gets a chip or something for his home system, and then she can walk anywhere.
Yeah.
And then I think he does something else and she can walk, like leave the house with him.
Yeah.
Like she's on something on his body or something. Yeah.
It doesn't seem like that's too far off from like
not. It's for a young guy like you, I could totally see that happening in your lifetime.
It didn't happen to me, but I mean, it could almost happen. Like even just kind of like just texting people, you know, on those dating services, you could kind of almost, if you haven't met yet, well, I guess there's catfishing, but yeah, too, you can almost get attached to this person and it's just texts.
And it ends up being a dude or something.
Yeah, man.
Or, you know, somebody that you don't think it should be.
Yeah.
I get it. Yeah.
It's weird, man. I'm digging the song, though.
Thank you.
These guys just always seem to put out cool stuff.
Good morning. My name is Jupiter.
This one, I actually started working on it. It usually starts with a riff, and I started kind of last summer, and then I knew we had a really busy fall. Like our September and October, we played like 6 weeks straight, which for an all-original band is a lot. Stuff just kind of fell in line. I knew that everybody had vacations in November. I was in New York, Oklahoma, and Florida. Mitch was in Tennessee for the holiday or for Thanksgiving. Anyway, I worked on it myself and then had rehearsals wherever I could with just Brock and Jason. And we spent that time building the song, creating the parts. So it really was, it started out with just me, but then like Jason created that heavy part at the end. And then Brock was kind of, was good with arranging the sections. So it was a really good all-band song. One thing I always worry about with being like the primary songwriter is not writing the same song over and over or not. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It's try to get other people involved and just to keep stuff stays fresh. And
or like a collaboration. Kind of
thing. Yeah, like a band.
Yeah.
So I could sit in the basement and finish a song and just throw it at them. In fact, I've had it happen where I finish a song and I'm like, that sounds just like something I wrote on the previous. I mean, what am I doing? It's important to me to get everybody else involved.
Yeah, it's always good to have a second set of eyes or like, I guess, like a third set of eyes. Because
Totally.
And then speaking of like the collaboration, I noticed today, when I was going through like the post to find the post about the author, a local musician, Brian Larson, he left a comment about the song and you like thanked him for actually bringing some of these songs out of your basement. Like,
He is where we rehearse.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Brian owns a rehearsal spot in town, and he's very gracious, always has time for us. So, yeah, and actually it's not very far from my house, so it's super convenient. Brian is, he might be the fifth member there because we spend a lot of time there.
Oh, cool, cool.
Do you know Brian?
I don't know him personally, but I've seen him play before, like Joey and Joey's mom. I forget what the band was. They were
Second Nature?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's going back a ways. But yeah, like I've seen him play before.
He's a talented guy and has an album that he recorded at Eclipse that he hasn't, I don't think he's released it.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, dude, why don't you put that on? I mean, just put it on iTunes. So maybe he will.
Yeah, or even like SoundCloud or something too.
Sure.
I mean, there's a lot of avenues for that now.
There is.
And then speaking of stuff too, I saw online, I saw this just the other day. You guys are going to play in Canada.
We are. If we can get all our ducks in a row.
Yeah.
I think Mitch is the only one with a passport. We need to get our I have an appointment at the post office in April. And then, if we get passports and everything, we're going up October 19th to play at the Blue Martini with a really good, in my opinion, a real prog band. They're called Pyramid Theorem. And I think they're from up there in that area. They're really good. I'm excited. I've never played out of the country before. I've never been to Canada before. Bob Long occasionally sends these Facebook Messenger things with addresses of radio stations. And every once in a while, I'll get like a group of 10 of them and send either the electronic press kits or an actual physical CD or something to these, to whoever. And this radio DJ named Chris Gaines in Kingston, Ontario, they've been playing us forever since I've been sending him stuff.
Yeah.
So he likes us and he was the one that offered it to us. So
cool. Yeah. It's not Garth Brooks, Chris Gaines.
No, it's not. I forgot about that. No. Although that would be cool too.
I kind of forgot about that until he said that name, and I was thinking, like, where did I hear that name?
Yep.
I was going to ask you about that, because you mentioned the internet radio. What is the most interesting or one that surprised you about getting played? Like, what's the farthest away?
I think the farthest away, there's a guy that plays us in Australia.
Oh, cool.
I think his name is Isaac Banks, and it's Banks Radio Australia. There's a station in Scotland, and they played us, and in multiple places in Canada. I think that's the furthest away.
It seemed like, you're always sharing that stuff. So I just wondered what was like, if anything surprised you, like if you got played, like.
America likes rock and America likes prog, but Europe really likes rock and really likes prog. It's a different, so does the, like Asia loves.
Yeah.
Rock, American rock and roll, where Americans could really take it or leave it. You know, America's all hip hop and country.
I guess Mr. Big's like a big example, but even like Alter Bridge, like they're playing huge arenas like in Europe, but then they play like clubs over here.
Right. I know. It's so weird. I don't know why that is. Thank God for Europe.
Didn't you see Mr. Big recently too?
We did. 2 weekends ago. They were fantastic.
Oh, awesome. Was that up at Arcata?
That was actually at the other theater that guy owns in Des Plaines.
Oh, okay.
Just called the Des Plaines Theater, but it's kind of the same thing, an old dilapidated theater that he renovated and does shows. And that's what the Arcata is. Beautiful, both of them beautiful inside. I don't know how many they hold, but they seem small and kind of intimate, which I like that.
I like going up there. I don't get up there nearly enough. He's always got like those type of bands playing like basically every week.
It seems like he does a lot of 80s bands And then he'll do some, but he does like most of his stuff. And I think this is the trend for the future. I'm not exactly a big fan of it, but I think that it's all it's going to be around like in the next 10 years, a ton of tribute acts.
Oh, yeah.
Just like for every regular band that he had coming, there was three tribute acts. But I think that's just what it is these days.
Oh, but he even had two, like Orianthe. I went up there with Jim last year for that. So he's still getting like a kind of a mix of stuff.
He does. Yeah, I mean, he does. Mm. But they run a commercial before the show. It's on a video screen. Oh, yeah. And he's got like a Fleetwood Mac tribute band. He's got an Elton John tribute thing coming. So then it would be like Tony Orlando for real is coming. And then it was, I don't know what it was. Those are the ones that just kind of come to my mind. I think it's just the way of the business now. There's so, you have so many artists aging out.
Oh, true.
You know, either dying or just getting to where they can't tour anymore. And I think that's going to be the norm for a while, which is kind of sad, but I'm not going to pay $60 to go see a tribute act. And I don't know, I don't even know what they're charging because I've never gone to one.
I think they were even just here in Peoria, but the Led Zeppelin tribute band, Get the Light Out, and they're actually pretty good. Like, I think they even say on stage they don't dress up and act like Led Zeppelin, but they just recreate the sound, and they've got, for all the extra guitar parts, they've got like six people on stage. And
really? That's not something I would pay to see, especially if they're not dressing up. Like, I would like to see a four-piece with four guys that in their 20s or early 30s looking like Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
And I'm not, you know, that doesn't appeal to me. Some people love it.
Well, you guys are even playing, I saw too, at the Revival for like a Tool tribute.
We are. Yeah. Brock's really excited. Brock's a big Tool fan. He's excited. I am too. I like Tool, not to the degree that he does, but yeah, that'll be cool.
Did you ever attend anything there when it was the Second Chance?
I was not that old. Thank you for aging me out.
Oh, well, I knew it was a couple different things, though. Wasn't it something else after that?
It closed. Like, it was big. It and Jim Glass would know more than I would, because Jim's a little older than I was, and I think he went there. It was big in the middle to late 70s, and I think it closed in the early 80s.
Yeah.
But when I went, it was a teen joint.
Oh, okay. See, I knew there was different stuff there. I just didn't know the timeline.
Somebody reopened it for like maybe 3 or 4 years in the late 80s, early 90s as a teen joint.
A stage 3 or
stage
something?
2 is what they called it.
Stage 2, okay.
Stage 2, yeah. And they just played videos like where the stage was. There was just a big video screen behind it. And they just took videos from MTV and played them.
Oh, wow. Huh.
Yeah.
It was just like a dance club kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. If I remember right. Like, you just went there to meet girls or meet people.
Yeah.
But I don't think rarely did they have bands.
Sorry for aging you.
That's all right. Kind of wish I was that old to have seen it in its heyday, because I had heard Van Halen had played there.
Yeah.
Like on their first tour, I believe like 78.
Damn.
I heard it was a rocking place.
Yeah, it's a cool venue. I was there a couple of weeks ago for LA Guns, and I had never been there before.
I'd never been on the stage. We played there last summer with Luna Kai. That was the first time being on stage and then being like in the background. And I forgot there's a whole separate part of that building that used to be a restaurant.
Oh, wow.
In the early 90s, it was called O'Leary's. That doesn't sound right. It was O something.
Oh.
but it was that there was a restaurant there, and then it became a church.
Yeah,
I think that's the last thing it was a church.
You could kind of see even stained glass stuff. Like if you're in the lobby and like you looked up, you could
really
see stained glass
stuff.
So yeah, interesting place.
Yeah. And I'm glad they're, you know, it's a cool place.
Yeah.
You can get kind of the middling acts. Hopefully they can get some, you know, some more touring acts or whatever to come in.
Yeah.
That would be cool to see. Cool. A cool spot instead of having to drive to the castle.
Oh, yeah. Like, what are some other plans you have for this year with the Truth Council?
We've got another song that we're going to put out. I don't think we're going to put out a disc this year. I think we're definitely going to try and play more. We did 10 shows last year, which for an original band around here is fairly solid. You know, it's hard to, you know, you can't play every weekend, or it's really hard to. We're going to record another song. It's done, ready to go. We need to rehearse it. And we'll probably have that out this summer, like maybe June. I would like to do an LP of these new songs and then some alternate takes on some other ones and put it on vinyl. So we've got some demos. There's a ballad we do. It's called Echoes of Angels. And there's a really good, solid demo that we did at Eric Nelson's at Eclipse Studios with just piano and drums and a vocal.
Oh, wow.
And it actually ended up sounding really, really good. I'm talking about maybe putting that on there and just some other alternate takes. Maybe at the end of the year or maybe first of 2025. The nice thing is we're at a spot now where we're not in a rush to record stuff. I felt rushed to like do the EPs, to have stuff to sell and to play live. Well, we've got 3 EPs and this new song. So we've got a good selection of stuff we can do and not get too bored. You know, we can have different set lists almost every show. I don't feel personally pressured. Oh, we got to get another EP out and stuff like that. Brock wants the next one to be a full album. And that may happen. We may do something different and either make it, if it's a full album, it'll be on vinyl.
Oh, cool.
I'll probably have to buy a record player because I don't have one.
Yeah.
I've got a boombox downstairs because I got a new car and my car doesn't have a CD player. So I met a guy at the Mr. Big Show that I knew from doing the Rock and Skull.
Oh, yeah.
And we're talking about swapping some shows. He's in a band in Chicago. So we'll probably get up to Chicago this year, maybe this fall. I don't know. I just want to play different places and just stay busy with it.
It's probably good to not feel like that pressure that you mentioned. Now you can kind of maybe like actually enjoy it a little bit more, the other parts of it.
You could just concentrate. I had a great conversation. This was last summer with, I don't know if you know who Ryan Rose is.
I know of him.
Okay.
Yeah.
He played in Bogart Jones and he's in that new band, Midnight Vultures. They did a show last summer. They played the jam sessions.
Oh, okay.
Out at the motorcycle park. We were talking after their set and he's made a comment that kind of stuck with me. He said, it's hard to go from a recording mindset and writing mindset to have to stop and go into performance, like live show mindset. It will be nice. Like after we get this other song and done, we will be in that for like the next 6 months. Because we usually don't do anything except record like in the winter. I really don't want to play December, January, February, just because weather and I'm just old and don't want to.
Yeah, too many variables, I guess, because you might not have a big drawing crowd if it's crappy too. So
if the weather's crappy, nobody's going out. January is usually not a good month. People are broke from Christmas. usually it's just staying in. So we used it to record this year, but it's also good for just getting together and writing. We gig in March through November or whatever. But that's what I see us doing, just more trying to get cooler shows. I'd love to do an arena show. I haven't played the Castle Theater yet. I'd love to do that. Anywhere cool, any cool shows with other cool lineups. Face your fears. I can see it's never
what it ever is. I can see it's never the end.
I need to play with the Great Affairs is what I need to do.
It's the same night you guys are playing.
It is. I already told them. There was an email to send your press kit to, and Matt was having trouble with it. And I got mine to go through, and I don't know. And I told Matt about it. I go, it's good now. Whatever they did, they fixed. And he told me they got that Tom Petty tribute act opener. So that's cool. And I would go to that,
yeah.
Except we're at the Spoke that night. So they're supposed to come down afterwards.
I'm going to try too. I know Jim's going to do the same thing.
Is he?
He was saying, yeah, we were talking about that. Yeah.
I don't know what time they go on at like 8 or something. We probably won't be on until like 10:30. But we got a cool band playing with us from Quincy called Gray Light Divide.
Uh-huh. What do they sound like?
Maiden. That was like the first thing that comes to my head. Iron Maiden. Maybe a little Priest. They've got two guitar players. So that's the first thing that comes to my mind. They kind of have their own sound too. So that'll be cool. I'm looking forward to playing with them.
Oh, awesome. I got some other questions for you too, because I know.
Okay.
I know, like sometimes we talk about comic books, or I think we talked about that before. But the last time we talked and we did one of these, you like said your favorite comic book character was a Submariner.
Then, Submariner?
Isn't that what you said?
No, it would be Nightwing.
Oh man!
But I like this. I like Namor.
But I remember talking to you about that too, and then that movie came out with him.
Right. Right.
Did you ever see that one?
I did. It was cool. I'm not sure why they needed to make it like he's Aztec or whatever, Mayan or something.
Yeah.
And that's not what the comic book was. I don't know. I mean, you know, they can do what they want.
Yeah.
I thought that was a little weird, but I thought the movie was good. They're in a tough spot with losing that actor.
Oh yeah, Jonathan Majors. Kang.
You're thinking of Chadwick Boseman, yeah.
Yeah.
That was tough to make that movie.
Yeah.
But it looks like if they're going to do another one, it'll be the son. They'll cast it that way. But who knows? This whole comic book movie thing is so, everything is just tanking. I think people, they need a break from it. You're doing too much, putting too much stuff out. They slow it down.
Yeah.
And Star Wars too. And I'm a child of the 70s. I saw Star Wars in the movie theater. I was 9 years old. So I love it. But they are just shoving it down our throats. Like, I can't. I'm lost in all the series, like, timelines. I'm like, when did this? Where is this at? It's tough to keep track.
Yeah, I haven't
either. But everyone that I see, I kind of like. That last one they had was at Osaka.
With the lady?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. But they need to slow it down. Like, I really like, and I think he got such a raw deal. I like the Han Solo movie.
Yeah. Yeah, same.
And I think it's not that bad. The critics just tore it up and people tore it up. And I think that's wrong. I think that guy did a great Harrison Ford as Han Solo. You know, he did the best he could. And I thought that was a good story.
I agree. I thought it was actually fun. Like, it felt like the original movies.
I agree. And I think it, but I think at that time that came out, I think they had like that and then another Star Wars. Like, I don't know if it was the same year. I think it was like Solo came out like in May, and there was a Christmas, whatever, the Last Jedi or something came out that Christmas. And I think it's just too much.
Yeah.
If anything that pissed you off as a fan in the 70s and was George Lucas taking his time, but it built up, you know, anticipation, you know, waited for that next movie. And now they're just throwing them at you left and right. And I think they know now, because all that Marvel stuff they just put out, even I'm a DC guy more than Marvel. and I haven't seen the Blue Beetle. Black Adam, that's like a whole, I could do a whole podcast on Black Adam. I thought it was good, but there's a part of me, I have nothing to back this up, but I think like The Rock bullied his way into somebody greenlighting that movie. The Black Adam is not even like an A-list character. And it's definitely, he's definitely not a anti-hero. He's a villain all the time. They tried to come up with this new, where he's like an anti-hero. No, he's not. He's Shazam's arch enemy all the time. You know, all the comic books. It didn't do as well as he thought it was going to do. Then he got Henry Cavill in there and tried to push his way around. And I don't know. That seems like the, I don't know. I think The Rock got too big for his britches, personally.
With those DC movies, like, I really liked Henry as, like, Superman. And it kind of sucks that, yeah, he's not going to do it anymore either.
Here's a James, is it James Gunn? Yeah.
Yeah.
I like his, the Guardians of the Galaxy. That was something I didn't know anything about. I never read those comics. I knew nothing about those characters. And I love those movies.
Yeah.
Thumbs up. Conversely, I've watched both Suicide Squads. I like the first one a lot, other than the villain was kind of janky. The second one, to me, is unwatchable. I'm like, what am I watching? And he kills off like all the cool people. And then there's people in it that I don't even know. And that's not a comic that I actually read. It just, anything I read on the internet about whatever the Suicide Squad is, those people that were in it were never in it. I mean, Harlequin is, but you got to have like Captain Boomerang's in everything. I'm a little worried about what James Gunn is going to do to the DC universe.
Yeah, because I've actually never seen, I've seen his movies, but I've never seen him do like an actual serious movie. Everything's got that over the top kind of comedy style.
Right, right. And I don't know if he's going to try that with Superman. I don't know.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see his take on stuff, but yeah, I'm just wondering if he'll do like, if he's got a serious side.
Right. And maybe because there are critics of Zack Snyder that, you know, that his universe was a little too dark.
And yeah.
I think I liked his stuff. His casting was perfect. Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman.
Yeah. Did you see The Last Flash? Because that's one I haven't watched yet either.
I did watch it. It is good. But it like it's also a little sad because that was like the last one. But it is good. It's got good cameos. You know, Ben Affleck's Batman is in the beginning. Wonder Woman's in it a little bit at the beginning. And then you get Michael Keaton in it at the end. And then that Supergirl was cool. That was a cool twist on it. But I've never read that comic, which I think is it called Flashpoint?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never read that. I don't know how close that is to the movie, but I liked it. And the ending was very cool. Yeah. I won't spoil the ending.
Okay.
But it's worth a watch.
I want to watch it, but it's part of that superhero fatigue that you mentioned. It was like,
I get it. Too much I get it.
To keep up with
both of, well, that universe is ending. So you don't have to worry about that anymore. Both of my kids are in March. They're going to be 29 and 26 and they are burnt out. They've kind of grown up with it. And they're just, I think Brock went and saw The Flash with me. My older son who lives in Seattle, he hasn't seen it. There's some fatigue there.
I guess it is real.
I think it is.
Ooh, child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will get brighter.
Together and we'll get it undone someday when you hit it much lighter.
I've got a couple other questions too if you got time. What's something that you want more of in your life?
Wow.
I guess you're saying you want more shows in your life, but maybe not even music related. Like,
no, you know what I could say? I want more time in my life, as there are definitely more years behind than there are ahead of me. Time is invaluable. Even working a day job and then coming home and doing things, I find it hard to have time to get everything done and trying to catch up on the weekends and stuff.
Yeah.
So time is something I want more in my life.
Oh, that's a good answer, man. Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. Oh, man. I almost want to end it now so you got more time in your evening. I'm not taking up.
No, it's actually, tonight's actually a really good night. My wife's not going to be home until like 9 o'clock tonight. I'm good.
That's why I ended up doing a lot of these now on Mondays. It's because my girlfriend comes home later. So it's like perfect too. I can just kick back and do this, talk to cool people like you. So I got another question. It's kind of almost random, but I wanted your opinion on this.
Okay.
So a while ago, this is going back a couple of weeks at work. I was riding in a truck with a guy. He was talking about music. He was telling me, I already knew it, but I was just kind of playing along, like, because he's like, oh, the Eagles have the highest selling album and all this stuff, like they're the greatest hits. He was telling me all these facts, and then he's like, yeah, Fleetwood Mac's got Rumors was one of the highest selling too. So those are two huge albums from the 70s, and they're still, like, you know, what, 45 years later at
right.
the top of the highest selling charts. And so I was just like, I think I'd take Fleetwood Mac over the Eagles. And he was like, what? Like, I'd take the Eagles. And so I was just wondering who you would choose, Eagles or Fleetwood Mac, in like a roundabout way. Sorry to ask you. Fleetwood Mac.
No, I'm probably going to go. And this is difficult because after watching the Eagles documentary and seeing what's the word that David Geffen uses, a malcontent for Don Henley, I would choose the Eagles over Fleetwood Mac. I like Fleetwood Mac also. That Rumors is a great record. Yeah, Don Henley's suing everybody. Always suing somebody. But yeah, I mean, they're just great songwriters, great vocalists. Their discography from the 70s is, you know, full of great music. And even when they went solo, Don Henley was, you know, wrote great songs solo. So did Glenn Frey. I would go there. Even though Lindsey Buckingham did come up with some great songs for the National Lampoon's Vacation.
That'd be a good clip to throw in.
Yeah. Holiday Road. Yeah. If YouTube will let you. Well, yeah. You could probably put it maybe just a little bit. Probably won't be able to put any Eagles in there because Don Henley will sue you.
Uh-oh.
He's very litigious.
Oh, man.
Now, here's my question. Yeah. To your friend's fact, and he is true in both Rumors and Eagles' Greatest Hits, but I always thought the top-selling record of all time was Thriller.
Yeah, I think he was talking about rock, but yeah.
That's sort of, I mean, it's both radio rock. Back then, I mean, I was a teenager, they played Michael Jackson on rock radio.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I guess it Beat It, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, all of it was top 40. I don't know how to classify that. And at the same time, they were playing Don Henley, his solo stuff on the same channel. So it's still rock, I guess.
I guess you're right. Everything's so segmented now and there's subgenres and stuff. But I guess back then it was kind of everything kind of ran together, right?
There was I don't even know, like rock. And soft rock, and then really, you know, there was metal, but they didn't play jack shit for metal on radio. Rock 106 back in the day would play like Zeppelin and Black Sabbath. They would play, but that stuff was 10 years old. You couldn't get like Judas Priest or Maiden or New Ozzy on the radio. And now there's 30 different types of rock and roll. You know, I get lost in it. What's an indie band? Because indie is not what it used to mean. Indie used to mean independent, like unsigned. Now indie is a style. I don't even know what that is.
Or yeah, you'd hear, speaking of that, you'd hear bands were like a college radio, and that was some of the indie stuff. That was kind of wasn't the FM or the AM. It was kind of the
right. Now see, I remember that as being like they called it college rock or college radio. That was like alternative.
Yeah.
Like that reminds me of like REM started out with that.
Yeah.
Grunge kind of got in there with that. I don't know.
I guess back then too, you would have had to wait for like Headbangers Ball. That's when they would have had that, right? It wouldn't have been on during the day. It would have been at night.
It's yeah, that I, I was always in a band playing, so I very rarely got to watch Headbangers Ball because it was on like at 10 or 11 p.m. on Saturday nights. And back in those days, I played every weekend.
Oh, wow.
So I have very little memory of ever watching that. But they played metal, and you didn't get a lot of that. Some of the hair metal you got, like in MTV rotation, you got Poison and Bon Jovi and Def Leppard. That was on during the day, but you want to catch like Anthrax or some of the speed metal bands or thrash bands of the day. Yeah, that was on Headbangers Ball. I'm dating myself again, aren't I?
Oh, it's all right, man. It's a music conversation, so it kind of weaves around and stuff. I guess I don't want to take up too much of your time because your time's precious.
Because I need time, or I need some more time.
Or what's that? The Burgess Meredith. I got all the time in the world.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, thank you, John, for chatting again. It's always cool to talk to you.
Anytime. See you March 16th.
I'm going to try to make that.
I would like to catch you, Danny. And maybe I'd be able, I might be able to catch it.
Yeah.
Because I don't think our show starts till 9. And then I'll message Jenny and find out what time they go on.
I'm sure they'll be around early in the afternoon too, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a Saturday. So yeah. Maybe he'll be at co-op or something that day. I'll try and catch him.
All right, well, have a good night.
You too. How do I get off of this?